Good afternoon, everybody. It's a pleasure to be here in Townsville. I was trying to remember if it was my fourth or fifth visit, but my memory is getting a little bit hazy. So as we just said, I've got a lot of charts to show you today. Being an economist, we do love lots of charts, either going up or down is generally what we try to do with our charts, to show a picture. And certainly over the past 3 months, we've seen a noticeable shift in views about the Australian economy, even though I was just leafing through the lovely glossy report on all your tables. And even now, Michael wrote this over the Christmas break. He likes to spend his time writing his overview for 2019, but even some of our views 6 weeks ago are certainly starting to shift, and a lot of that comes from just that shift in pessimism we've seen in the Australian economy. Now, is the gloom justified? That's kind of what I'm going to do today, is kind of focus on the risks, both the upside risks and the downside risks. But before we do that, I thought I'd just start with kind of where is the Australian economy at the moment? We're in our 28th year of economic expansion. So we last had a recession back in the early 1990s, a recession we had to have. But looking at the Australian economy now, the Australian economy is running at about trend growth. So trend in Australia is about 2.75%. The unemployment rate is slowly but surely shifting down. So currently around that 5% level, the labour market has certainly been one of the strongest points of the Australian economy over recent years. We've got very strong jobs growth. The unemployment rate is moving down. What we are seeing, though, is that underemployment rate to remain relatively high. So those are people who want to work full-time instead of part-time, want to work slightly longer hours. That remains stubbornly around 8%. And that's one reason why we've really started to see that lack of wages pressure come through the Australian economy. Starting to inch up, but certainly nowhere near the pace of what we are used to. So wages growth stuck at around that 2.3% level. And certainly that kind of adds to the feeling in the Australian economy of the consumer being one of the weakest points, and that will be a feature of my presentation as we go through. Commodity prices are generating income for the Australian economy, particularly for the Australian government. So we've had very strong growth in the iron ore price recently. That's a big money earner for the federal budget, which we'll hear about in about a month's time. So the public finances in Australia are in really good shape. We're expected to get back into surplus next financial year. So the budget has been brought forward this year to the 2nd of April instead of that second Tuesday in May, to make way for, obviously, for the federal election, most likely in mid-May. The budget deficit, as I said, is shrinking. We're expecting a surplus. The ratings agencies, as a result of that, have removed the negative outlook on Australia's AAA credit rating. So we're now on neutral outlook. So that's, once again, reinforcing the fact that there's probably a bit of money in there in the lead up to the federal election as well. There's policy space if needed. So certainly the cash rate can move lower if needed. That's one of the biggest debates out there at the moment, is the outlook for the RBA, and I'll certainly delve into that as we go through. And obviously on the fiscal side as well, given that budget is in relatively good shape, we do expect there to be some further easing in the fiscal policy stance, hopefully through income tax cuts that we'll all benefit from. But nonetheless, as I said, the pessimism in the Australian economy has certainly been elevated in recent times, really over the past 3 months. So if you kind of look at some survey measures for the Australian economy, we can certainly see business confidence has really fallen over the past 6 months. That's that blue line up on your screen. So I think there's two reasons why we've seen that increase in pessimism. There's both global factors and local factors. So kind of picking at the global outlook at the moment, there's a number of reasons why we think there's a bit more pessimism out there. China-US trade negotiations have been ongoing for a while now. That certainly led to a slowdown in the Chinese economy. And that's obviously fed through into weaker trade for the global economy and flowed back into Australia as well. We've got the mess that is Brexit. We're getting closer to that ever closing deadline for Brexit, which is the 29th of March this year. So that's been going on for well over 2 years now, since that Brexit vote back in 2016. Financial market volatility has been heightened in recent times, just given the number of issues going on in the global economy, geopolitics, the list goes on, that we can, you know, point to why businesses are feeling less confident than they have for a while. Consumer confidence is generally volatile. It's running at about average levels at the moment. So for us, when we look at the consumer confidence figures, it's kind of been held up around average for two reasons. We would normally expect consumer confidence to be higher at this part because of how low the unemployment rate is, but on the flip side, we have the deteriorating housing market. So we're generally getting some quite big moves in consumer confidence from month to month. So really, for the course of 2019, we're wondering which factor will really win out in the end. Will the improvements in the labour market outweigh the deterioration in the housing market? And that's kind of really at the heart of the risks for the Australian economy. What we've also seen is a change in language from a number of central banks around the world. So at the start of 2019, we did expect the US to continue to lift interest rates. We've now moved our call and we don't think interest rates will move higher in the US anytime soon again. We actually did, and what you'll see in the nice glossy report on your table, is we did expect the Reserve Bank to start to lift the cash rate at the end of this year. We've now pushed that back. So one of the big changes we've seen in the Australian economy kind of at the start of 2019 is the return of the two-handed central banker. Now, this is a joke for economists. Generally, if you get two economists in the room, you get three different opinions. Apologies for always weighing up the risks. But certainly the change in language by Governor Lowe of the Reserve Bank has really started to change a lot of people's views about the RBA. So through all of 2018, the general language was, based on our current view, we expect the next move in interest rates to be up. In his first real appearance of 2019, he changed his language. He now said there's kind of an even chance of rates moving higher or lower over the course of this year. So we changed our view, a lot in the market changed our view. If you look at financial market pricing, they're pricing in a chance of a rate cut over the next 12 months. We're not of that view, just given the strength in the labour market. But it does reinforce to us that the most important outlook for interest rates at the moment is what happens to the unemployment rate and how much further house prices fall. And I will touch on that as we go through. So I thought before we turn into Australia, I'll just give a bit of a view on the global economy. And certainly what we've seen over the past 12 months or so is a real change in the global economic outlook. Through the course of 2015, 16 and 17, we had a very strong synchronised uplift in global economic growth, running at around 3.7%. That's now softening. Softening for a number of reasons. We had higher interest rates in the US for a long period of time. The China-US trade negotiations have certainly led to a bit of a stall in China's economic growth. We've seen the likes of Italy, Germany and Japan have rates of economic growth that are much closer to recession territories. So when we look at what's happening with the economic data at the moment, the panel on the left is an economic surprise index. So that's when the data comes in. Is it surprising us economists for the better or for worse? And at the moment, it's the worse. So certainly we are seeing some data come out that is a little bit more negative. There's also been a lift in economic policy uncertainty. So that's around the world. People who measure the uncertainty in policy has been at record highs as well. If we look at what it means for Australia, just pulling out one of CBA's economic indicators, the Purchases Managing Index, we look at export orders, and that's still in expansionary territory. So a lot of what we've seen in the global economy has been impacting outside of Australia. But there is a chance if we do see further slowdown that it will obviously come and impact Australia. So closer to home, why are the risks overdone? Well, certainly for 2019, a lot of the upside potential for the Australian economy is locked in. There's a number of areas where we think are certainly cause for celebration. The first is the export sector. So I've just put a chart up on the left-hand side, LNG export volumes, they continue to grow exponentially at the moment. So all the investment work that was done off the coast of Western Australia and Northern Territory are starting to come online. We think peak export production will be in 2020, so that will help Australia's economic growth. The middle panel Just goes to show you a lot of the infrastructure work that is going on around in Australia, particularly the two biggest economies, New South Wales and Victoria. So the state governments there are spending a lot of money on roads, rail, education and health as well. So we're seeing very strong public capital expenditure, and that's creating a lot of jobs growth in those two economies. Also in states like Tasmania as well. The third area where we're still positive about is the Asian income story. So if we look at income growth in Asia, that's growing at twice the rate of the global economy as well. So Australia is a major beneficiary of that through stronger education and tourism flows as well. Some of the risks that we saw in 2018 are receding. The first of that is wages. So we are seeing a very slow pickup in wages growth, currently at 2.3%. So they did bottom about 1.5%, so we are seeing a pickup. If we look at wages, including bonuses, that's growing at a faster rate. So we think businesses are still reluctant to pay their workers more on a permanent basis, but they're hoping to reward and attract staff through bonuses as well. So that's been picking up. So we are starting to see that turn around. The other real development that we're seeing in the Australian economy is a big pickup in non-mining investment. So the chart on the right-hand side shows you non-mining capex. That's been a very strong part of the Australian economy over 2018. And figures we got out on Wednesday this week showed that future investment plans continue to rise as well. So particularly for non-mining for this financial year. And we actually saw for the first time in over 5 years, a pickup in mining investment as well for 2019-2020. So we're starting to see some more investment plans from the mining industry start to come through. So that part of the Australian economy continues to look good. Now, where are the risks? It's housing. Probably that's no big surprise to everyone in this room. But housing does remain a real ground for concern. And when we think about our number one risk for our economic forecasts and also for the RBA as we look at 2019, it's how developments in the housing market flow through to the real economy. So what I'm going to do over the remainder of the presentation is walk you through what has been going on in the housing market, kind of how did we get to the part where the housing market is falling, and what's the outlook from here. So in one sense, the concerns about the housing market are nothing new. We've had high household debt in Australia for a number of years. And from about 2015, we saw the regulators take a different stance about the outlook for housing and household debt in particular. So what they did is implement a number of changes to regulations to really crack down on the amount of investment lending that banks are doing into the economy. And as a result, you can see there that we saw a fall in the number of investor loans and a fall in the number of interest-only loans in particular. So banks and, the regulators were very concerned about the financial stability risks of high household debt, and in particular, high household debt to investors in particular. So they implemented a lot of regulations. We've seen the investor share of lending really start to fall. And as a result, we've seen a lot of people who had investor interest-only loans being forced onto principal and interest-only loans. And if that has happened to anyone in the room, you know that the cost of doing that has increased by about 30 to 40% of your repayments. So what we've seen is a financial stability risk move into an economic risk. And so when we look at some of the CBA numbers on this, so these are the CBA household surveys, so that cover in excess of 2.5 million households or CBA customers. They show us three things. The first, if we look at wealth indicators, that red line there, household wealth's falling given the falls in house prices. So far, income growth remains okay, certainly not obviously very strong at the moment, but certainly not moving too much. But what we are now seeing is spending start to fall. So households have been facing very low income growth, and so that's obviously meant that households are starting to pull back on their consumer spending. The housing market has certainly seen a big focus on a fall in prices in investor-only areas. So what you can see there is if your house is in an area that has a lot of investors, house prices are falling faster. And certainly Sydney and Melbourne have borne the brunt of that. So Sydney house prices are down 10% now from peak to trough. Melbourne's catching up quickly. Regional areas have certainly been performing better. I've looked at the numbers for Townsville this morning, and Townsville house prices are down about 6% over the past 12 months. So you guys are kind of caught up between the areas. We think prices will fall further. The main reason for that is the best leading indicator for house prices is credit growth. So the supply and demand of credit in the economy continues to remain weak. Households probably do want to start to come back into the market. We see that in our own number of web hits on our website, but they're not there yet. We do think any further changes to the regulatory side will obviously have a bigger impact on the market, but that's certainly not what we're seeing in our own data. So we're not seeing any change in the number of loans that are being approved or the average funding side. So we think at the moment it's very much a demand-driven story. Households have stepped back from the housing market. They're waiting to see what house prices will do before they start to re-enter the market. And that's actually a really hard thing to work out. So the biggest risk out there for the Australian economy is how does this deteriorating housing market start to impact consumer spending? And that's something we are watching quite closely. And it certainly reminds us that the number one thing that we can do for the Australian economy is to improve income growth. That can't be just through wages, it could be through tax cuts. And we obviously, hopefully, will see that in the budget in about a month. And I will leave it there. Thank you very much.